Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. My name is Rod Henry.
And I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery TV, the weekend edition. As we study the Word of God, we're going to review some things today. Corey, what's up?
Well, we're going to be reviewing what we read this week, this entire week in the scripture, which is Psalm chapters 29 to 59. And we're going to be pulling out some interesting things that we learned.
All right, very good. So stay tuned because we're going to do all of that and more.
Psalm 55, verses 1 through 14. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove! I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Psalm 55, verses 1 through 14.
You know, having many friends, that's a good thing, isn't it? And it's exciting. But let me tell you the truth. Most people have a few friends, good friends, because they cannot really express themselves as deeply in the time that they have available. Now, others try to avoid people altogether and keep themselves away. In fact, today's world is interesting because although we have so many ways to communicate, and we do, from anywhere in the world, and we don't communicate the way we should. Now think about that. One of the loneliest places in the world, believe it or not, is a shopping mall. You go there and everybody's walking around. It's filled with hundreds of thousands of people. Why is that? Have we lost the ability to truly make friends? There are those who struggle because they have been hurt deeply by someone somewhere who was close as a friend. The Bible speaks to that person who was hurt by a deviant individual who was seeking to develop his own power and his own prestige. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. So as we get ourselves ready and focus on this, I want to encourage you that God has help for us in Psalm chapter 55, verses 1 through 14. Very good. Now, this is this month's Bible guide. It's great. And if you have yours, turn to today's passage. We're going to look at it. There's some things in here on the page that are not included on the program that we want to make sure you get a hold of. But many of the things are included on the program. We're going to talk about them. So take your Bible guide. If you don't have one, write for yours or go to Bible Discovery TV. And thank you so much for those who've made donations. That's how we live. That's how we keep the cameras going and everything else. So thank you so much for that. And if you have your Bible guide, turn to today's passage because we are talking about trouble with friends. I think if there was one subject I was going to talk about, this would be one of the most popular because everybody can say they have trouble with friends. And let me explain something. The closer we get to someone, the more difficult it becomes to maintain the relationship, unless you're truly invested in them. But that's the point. If you have a friend and you make a commitment to that friend to get to know them, then regardless of what happens along the way, you remain friends. You remain friends. Now, if you're a Christian, a Christ follower, you've invited Christ into your life, and your other friend is a Christian, and somehow there was a mix-up along the way and you just things went bad. I know what that's like. It's happened to me many times. Remember that God teaches us to be faithful. So even though we think that we'll never talk to them again as long as we live, we're going to spend eternity with them. So wouldn't it be better to get that worked out now so that when we do spend eternity with them, it won't be so bad? I think that's important. Forgiveness is very important. Granting forgiveness, very important. Very important. All right, so let's talk about this. Father, I pray today that you would help us with friends and help us to be able to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. I just pray that God would speak to us today because it's important. Psalm 55, verse 1 says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God." So he's speaking to God and he's saying, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication or my request. Attend to me and hear me. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan noisily." Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Okay, so this gets interesting. The Lord desires us to speak to him as our best friend. In times of depression, the Lord wants us to come to him in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Who is behind your depression? Hard to answer, isn't it? I want to tell you, depression can be a devastating thing. But Jesus Christ says to us, if we pray to him in the Psalms, if we speak to him and we ask him in the name of Jesus Christ, "Help me, Lord. I don't know what's going on." Then God will make us aware, because there is a spiritual evil in this world that is trying to destroy people. One of the ways he does that is through massive depression. All kinds of things, and there's all kinds of reasons for that. People got abused. There's tons of reasons for that. And you cannot fix that without the Spirit of God in your life. The Spirit of God is the healer of all things. Not time. It's the Spirit of God. Very, very, not exposure. It's the Spirit of God who moves in when you pray and heals you. Very important. Especially now with everybody reporting on what happened 20, 30 years ago in their personal lives. Let me tell you something. That's really important. Psalm 55, verse 4 says, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I thought if I could get away, indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten quickly my escape from a windy storm and a tempest." It's a problem. See, here's the problem. It may seem easier to run away from problems instead of dealing with them in yourself. God tells us to listen to him and not to run away from our troubles. You know, some people run away from their troubles in the courts of the land. The courts of the land cannot solve your problem. The courts of the land cannot heal you, but the Spirit of God can. There's nothing that has happened to you that cannot be healed. I need to say that again. Listen carefully. There's nothing that has happened to you that cannot be healed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord. See, I believe in the miracle of God's Spirit because I have known and sensed and felt his healing of amazing things in my life. I pastored for 17 years and I remember things. I want to tell you something. God heals us and helps us. Keep that in mind. Open your heart to the Lord. Let the Lord Jesus Christ deal with you. Let him understand you. Speak to him. Speak to the Lord. He's listening. We go on to verses 9 to 14. It says, "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls, inquiry and trouble and all their midst in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me." Oh, no, no, no. Then I could bear it. "Nor is it the one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked to the house of God in the throng." Now we get to the point. This is the point. The worst kind of hurt comes from a close friend. A close friend. Seek God for his help. Only God can help you. And strength, his help and strength. You're going to need this. Strength to bear the disappointments of ourselves and our friends. Now, there are ways that people have really hurt themselves. And people have really done things that are not good. Because they're people. Because we're fallen under the sin condition. But the Holy Spirit of God is able to heal us. The Holy Spirit of God comes inside of our hearts and begins to do something new. The Lord tells us in his wonderful word that I can heal, I can help. And that's what the Psalms is about, beloved. I want to pray for you if you're dealing with a hurt. Father, I pray for those who are dealing with a very deep hurt. And you know, Lord, they may have not talked about it for 20 years or 30 years. But I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come in right now. And I pray, Lord, that things would change. Things would change. That you would move on their heart. Open their hearts, O God, that they may receive your precious Holy Spirit to heal and to help them. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful and Jesus' powerful and almighty name. We thank you. Heal us, Holy Spirit. Change our life. Change our way of thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. This is, of course, Bible Discovery TV, and we are talking about the Psalms as we come on this weekend to look at this. And one of the things that's interesting to me is it's a book of music. You know, yes. 150 chapters in this book. It's the largest book in the Bible, but it contains the shortest chapter, Psalm 117, and it contains the longest chapter, 176 verses, Psalm 119. And so this is an amazing book, and it's written by some people they don't know, but most of them they think they know. But this is great. It was divided into five sections. Nobody knows why, except to circulate among the Israelites early on. They say that, you know, five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, but we don't know for sure. But it's really interesting. And Corey is going to start us off. Corey, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so normally on these weekend programs, we would do a chapter by chapter recap of everything that we read this week. But that's a tall order for the Psalms, because they're all just different chapters of music, essentially. So there's not a lot of historic narrative that goes on. So it'd be really difficult to go through chapter by chapter. This week, we read through Psalms chapter 29 to 59. So that's the area of scripture where we're in. And I thought what we could do is just talk about, you know, as a group here, as a family, talk about some things that we find particularly interesting or that we learned this week in that range of Psalm 29 to 59. So I don't know who wants to start it off. I do have one, but does anyone have anything else that they want to jump in and start first?
Well, yeah, I have a Psalm. I'm just looking forward to it, but you go ahead, Corey, because I'll do mine last, but go ahead.
Okay, so one psalm that I really like in this group is Psalm chapter 34, and I like it because it's tied to an historical event. And there are a few different psalms in the Bible that are tied to historic events, particularly in King David's life. And this one in chapter 34, the superscript says, of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. Now, this story is related in 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's the king of Gath, who also went by another name. And David literally was so scared of this king of Gath that he pretended to be insane so that he wouldn't be a threat to this king, and this king would just let him go. And that's why I think Psalm 34 has a special place in my heart, because it's a little bit funny when you put it in that perspective. David is really humbled by this experience. And when you read the whole psalm in that lens, you realize that he's learned a lot about life. And he actually takes on a teaching role. I'll read you, verse 6 says, "This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." And then David goes into this teaching role then. Let me teach you some things that I've learned through this experience. So this is verse 11. "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And why that makes me smile here is because David has just, you know, escaped by the skin of his teeth by lying, by pretending to be insane. And he realizes afterwards, this is just David's heart, right? He realizes afterwards, all right, I could have done that better. I could have done things a little bit differently. But at the same time, look how merciful God is. So there's so many things that I love about Psalm chapter 34, and that's just a couple of them.
Yeah, that is absolutely great. Ryan, Janice?
Well, Ryan can go, but I'll take a turn for sure. Psalm 32 is one that I love. I'm kind of like you, Rod, when you say I have a favorite psalm, I have 150 favorite psalms. But I do love and appreciate this particular one. It's the joy of forgiveness, and it starts off, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." And there's just some beautiful word pictures in this poem, in this song. And it talks about when we keep silent, even our bones grew old and our groaning happens all the day long. And then it comes down to everyone who comes to God, we pray to the Lord in a time when God may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. And then it goes into this beautiful passage, you talking about God, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." That verse, I know I've said it before, but that fascinates me. This whole idea of coming into the presence of God and being this hiding place. And I remember as a little girl, I loved to make forts. I would sometimes just make it with a blanket or a towel or hide under a chair, or I would go outside and make forts with cardboard or whatever, just to have a small hiding place. And I found comfort in that. And here God becomes our hiding place, who preserves us from trouble and surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Oh, to hear God sing, it must be just amazing. And then he goes on to say, "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Because God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I don't want to be like a horse or a mule where I have to have that bit and bridle put in my mouth to be pulled along. I want to be able to be so close to the Lord God that even just the flicker of his eye, just a motioning with his eye, I know where to go and what to do, and it brings me comfort. There's so much more that I could say about this, but I don't want to take up all the time. But oh my goodness, if you haven't really taken the time to meditate on Psalm 32, do that, because it's so worth it.
Excellent. Ryan?
Well, yeah, I'm not looking at one specific psalm. I just really enjoyed looking at all of the contributors to the psalms, because of course, David is the primary contributor with 75 out of the 150 attributed to him. But I, this year, really wanted to look into the other contributors. And, you know, we all know, you know, Solomon and Moses. We know about them, but I wanted to look into the more obscure ones like Asaph, Heman, Ethan, and the sons of Korah. And so that's kind of what I did. And I really enjoyed just tracing their history. And it's really amazing. You know, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, they were all Levites, and they were the head musicians of David's massive worship team. And each one seems to have led a temple choir, and Heman was actually placed in the center. So just really interesting things about these guys, you know. And Ethan, he's called Ethan the Ezrahite, also probably the same as Jeduthun. He's the author of Psalm 89 and was considered among the wisest men ever known at that time, second only to Solomon. So I just really enjoyed looking into the human authors of the Psalms this year.
You know, it's interesting, as you look at the book, you see the book is very complicated in terms of the writing style, but very simple to read in terms of the presentation style. And we come down to the last 4 minutes, and all of you have said great things, but I need to kind of go back, and I want to go back to Psalm 19, because this is one of my favorite psalms. Now, I'm an amateur astronomer, okay? I have telescopes, and I look at the stars, and I love it. I have since I was a kid, and I have this backyard that it gets dark at night, and I go out, and the last couple of nights I've looked out in the winter skies, because it's not summer yet, or it's not spring yet, right. But anyway, and I've seen Venus, and I've seen a couple of things that are just stunning. And Psalm 19 says this, it says, and this is what strikes me as meaningful, it says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. It says that even though night after night, they make him known. And you begin to think about this, and you're, wait a minute, are you serious? Absolutely. It says, verse 3, they speak without sound or word. And I thought about that, and I thought, I'm looking at the sky, and it's speaking to me, and it's, there's no sound or word. It's just the, I'm just in the presence of this gigantic, huge place, the universe, and I'm looking at it through the atmosphere. It's perfect view. They speak without sound or word. Their voice is never heard. And I thought, it isn't. And then it says in verse 4, yet their message has gone throughout the entire earth, and their words to all the world. And that's just the first 4 verses. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's just an amazing passage. And as a person who has a telescope, and, you know, I'm just a guy, and I don't have any degrees or anything in this, but I just love looking at the sky. One of the best things that we did was star parties were great. They would, you know, groups of people get together. Unfortunately, they don't believe like I believe, many of them, but you can find some Christians at these places, and you look out and you see deserts. You go to the desert and you can see amazing stuff. You go to the fields and you're just stunned in the middle of the night with just beautiful lights and all of that. And I got to tell you that the Lord truly does speak. And when you look at it, then of course it makes a lot of sense when you think about the light pollution. Mm-hmm. There's so much light today that we're sort of polluting We can't see it, but I love when you go out and you don't have any light pollution and you can see the perfect, because in the dark, it's not really dark. When you look at the sky, it's very bright. And so anyway, that's my favorite psalm. It's fascinating. So we've studied that. Now, I went back before we started. But anyway, thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Corey. We appreciate that. And I hope that you are enjoying the Psalms as much as we are presenting it to you. Let me also say that if you want to come to know Jesus Christ and learn the Creator of the stars, you can do so. You simply pray. Pray is what? Talking to God. You talk to God. Some people close their eyes to remove distractions. But closing your eyes is not necessary. You can talk to God and focus on Him and say, God, I need your help. I'm a sinner and I can't do anything about it. Jesus Christ did. So you say, Lord, I know you did that. So come into my heart, forgive me of my sin and help me be the Lord of my life. Because when you're the Lord of my life, things will begin to change. And I'll begin to see things I didn't see before, and I'll begin to know things. So help me, Lord, to find you. And help me to really understand who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I believe Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and rose again. Help us, Lord, and be with us today.